You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, I'm going to number three on today's Triple Dipper, and that's the fact that Joe Biden's checkbook appears to be running out of checks. You know, that old thing before we had debit cards all the time where you actually had to write a check to do something, and then sometimes you get to the store and realize you didn't have any checks, and it's pretty embarrassing. All right, this is kind of where Biden is right now. It doesn't seem like he can get anything done. As of literally about 40 minutes ago, it appears that Nancy Pelosi once again has had to defer voting on trillions of dollars in social spending. And that's a significant thing. Well, I want to bring on somebody to the show right now who I've known for a while, Cameron Smith. He's the CEO of Triptych Foundation. Cameron has also recently served as executive director of the House Republican Policy Committee up in Washington, D.C. He was a counsel, provided counsel to Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee in his policy transition team. He also worked on the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee. And I knew him from back in the day when he also worked at the Alabama Policy Institute. So, Cameron Smith, thanks for coming on Right Side Radio, man. How are you doing today?
Happy to join you, Phil.
Well, glad you're here. And listen, it's ugly in D.C., but, you know, that's nothing new, except this appears to be like next level ugly right now. Nancy Pelosi doing all she can to scrounge votes, which she's usually known for being able to do, but it seems like she's hitting an impasse right now.
Yeah, and for this, we've got Thanksgiving coming up. Republicans should be giving thanks right now. Nancy Pelosi, and I've got a column I'm finishing right now, she is the best speaker of my lifetime. You don't have to like her politics, but she is good at bringing together votes from a caucus that is all over the place. And right now, she is struggling to get these votes together. And it's because progressives, and when I say progressives, this is a new variety. Nancy Pelosi is a San Francisco liberal, and she looks like the moderate in this situation.
Ain't that
something? The squad and those type of liberals have gone so off the reservation in terms of spending that they're willing to kill a win that Joe Biden needs so desperately on infrastructure just because they can't get their way. And I say we should applaud them for it because it's a disastrous bill.
Well, and I totally agree with that. And so, yeah, just to round out that piece of the conversation there, folks, we got two major bills right now. Biden wanted to do everything at once at one point. He knew he couldn't get it through the Senate, and the negotiations where 19 Republicans joined in to carve out a piece of that and make an actual what they call infrastructure bill, bridges, roads, that kind of thing. And that one is roughly what, Cameron, about $1.5 trillion, I think, in that particular bill?
Yeah, right about there.
Yeah. Second bill had all of the Christmas list, you know, all the wish list for progressives in it. It has all of the climate change, the climate core activists. It has all of the things related to social policies and things that are literally just the liberal wish list. That's all in a separate bill. That one was at $3.5 trillion. That's been negotiated down to like $1.75 trillion. But the liberals, the progressives you're talking about, the wackadoos in the House right now are holding things up because they don't want to vote on the infrastructure bill until they've had a chance to vote on the wish list bill. Am I correct in saying that?
Absolutely. They're holding it hostage, and they want to make sure their priorities, in which when you're spending trillions of dollars and you still can't get your priorities in there, you've done something wrong. I spent about an hour reading through this thing before I joined you on the radio. And I'm telling you, the amount of dollars that's just blown out the window, like every federal agency is getting billions in climate change research dollars. And that's literally all it says is to fund research into climate change. I mean, they're not even being really specific at this point. They're just taking a money gun and blowing it around. And that's still not good enough for the most liberal wing of the Democratic Party.
Well, let me ask you, from your time in D.C., there's a thing called the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, right? And they are the ones who are supposed to be scoring this bill, which my understanding is that's a lot like in Alabama. We have the LFO, the Legislative Fiscal Office. They give us basically a dollar sign to attach to our bills. And this has not even been scored by the CBO, which I think is part of what's holding things up, because some of the more moderates are saying, shouldn't we know the price tag first? Am I right in saying that? And what's the process for a CBO score, by the way?
So the CBO basically looks at it. When a chairman sends them a draft of a particularly a large piece of legislation like this, they take a look at it. In this instance, with the last iteration, you're looking at it'll probably take them a week to enter in all the different provisions against current financial baselines and try to do a 10-year projection of what this thing is actually going to cost, what it'll add to the deficits, what it ultimately will add to the debt. And people see the price tag. It's sort of like when you go now to a restaurant and you see the calories by the menu items. Like, yeah, it's a lot more fun to eat before you see, like, that pasta dish has all the calories you need for, like, 6 days.
Yeah. Don't make me be responsible.
Right. And so that's the situation that Democrats are facing right now, is they're like, well, we can wait a week, get the numbers back. They're going to be awful. And, you know, Pelosi's saying, well, is that going to make you more likely to vote on this? And I think her answer is no.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And I think it, but at the same time, wouldn't it be amazing to find out that it was actual Democrats who wanted to see what was in the bill before they voted on it? That would be interesting. But
well,
so
I mean,
Cameron, what's your prediction?
My column that I'm about to drop
yeah, go ahead.
Is called Nancy Pelosi's Moderate Death March, because here's what she's seeing. She saw what happened in Virginia. She's like, I'm going to lose the House. That's going to happen. So if we don't push through and take our most aggressive liberal shot now, we're just not going to have an opportunity to do it. The spending spree is going to be over. This isn't going to happen. Joe Biden's not going to get his wins. This is going to be ugly. So she's like, this is our time. We've got to go, and I'm going to sacrifice as many moderates as I have to. And those moderates are raising their hand and saying, you know, I'm not that into ending my career right now. So maybe not. And that is literally what's happening. And the progressives are pouting, and Republicans are saying, it's a great Friday to be alive.
So from what I just saw, just scanning the news right before you came on, it looks like she did not have the votes for final passage today, but they were still going to take some type of a procedural vote. Give me the quick rundown in D.C. language. What are the procedural hurdles they have to cross first to be allowed to get to final passage?
Yeah, in the House, it's mostly a muscle proposition. So what they will do on something like the Build Back Better bill is they'll pass what's called a rule. And the Rules Committee will report out a rule. And this rule says, here's how we're going to consider amendments or this legislation, or basically saying, here's what we're going to do to handle this underlying piece of legislation. So they could pass out the rule and say, this allows us to bring up the bill for debate. And here's how long that debate's going to be. And here's when we're going to handle all that. And then they would have the actual vote at some later time, whether it's this weekend or early next week. And the House is a little different than the Senate. The minority rights in the Senate are more powerful. So in the House, this is basically up to the Speaker, that when she wants to get a vote on this thing, she can work with the Rules Committee and get a vote on the floor pretty quick. The issue right now, she just doesn't have the votes.
So it's not likely it would die on a procedural vote. That would just give her that out of the way so she can get to final passage if she finds she has the votes later on.
Yeah, I mean, there's no situation here where I think – I'll put it this way. Nancy Pelosi is a smart speaker. She's done this a long time. There's no way she's going to put something on the floor that fails, because that is that's fatal. It's over at that point. Yeah. The question has always been, can it get through the Senate? But if it can't get through the House, it's game over. So she might take a procedural vote, but that procedural vote is, again, a formulaic type thing. It's not, I don't think anybody would kill it. But the underlying bill, if she does not have Build Back Better and infrastructure, progressives have said, we are not giving you infrastructure. And frankly, they're right, because what the moderates in the House and the Senate will do is run with the infrastructure package, give Joe Biden a win. There's some Republicans that will support that, and then they will forget the rest of it. It will be game over, and progressives are just saying, no, we're not going to do that.
Okay, so listen, before we take this break, and by the way, can you hang on during the break? Because I want to talk to you about a little bit more stuff from the Senate side, since I know you had experience there. But literally, what's your prediction? In like 30 seconds here, does she get the votes to pass this, both bills on the House floor? Did we lose him?
No, not right now.
Oh, not right now. Well, there you go. Good enough. All right, listen, Cameron, hang on during the break, man. I want to come back and talk to you some more about this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Got to look. I mean, right now, the news is breaking. I'm watching it right now on Fox. They're talking about the fact that this is the Build Back Better disaster. I'm hoping so. I agree with Cameron Smith. It's a great day to be a Republican in D.C. Phil Williams, we'll be right back after this. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going back to the phones right now with Cameron Smith. Cameron has spent a number of years working in the realm of public policy through a various variety of 501c3s, like the Alabama Policy Institute, for one, where I'm also affiliated. But he also spent time in D.C. working for Senate Judiciary Committee and with the House Republican Policy Committee. So, hey, Cameron, let me jump back in there and give me a personal take on something. So one of the things that's really been surprising, I think, to a lot of the world is that it's two Democrats, Kirsten Sinema, Senator Sinema from Arizona, and Joe Manchin from West Virginia, who have been really the ones standing in the gap. Republicans are just kind of watching them duke it out. I think Sinema's still in her first term, but I'm sure you ran across Joe Manchin at some point. Give me your take on the fact that these two Democrats are the gatekeepers right now for all of this spending.
Absolutely. I mean, because you have a 50-50 Senate with a tiebreaker going to the vice president, even a move to change the filibuster would have to go through them. And so that's the reason that we haven't seen some of those changes. And they are holding the gap. And this is one of the things I tell conservatives. It's really easy to play the conservative purity game. But right now, it's not the conservative purists that are at the table. It's moderate Democrats in Sinema and Manchin that are saving conservative bacon. And so Finding ways to say, okay, let's be reasonable. Even where we don't agree on policy, like let's find ways to work with these folks. And I think what's happening is Sinema and Manchin are looking at the tea leaves and saying, look, my voters, the voting base in West Virginia and Arizona, is not wanting me to play ball with this irresponsible wildness. I mean, there's stuff in there like an expanded child tax credit, dental care for seniors, like things that Republicans and Democrats could probably get around, and that Manchin and Sinema would certainly say, okay, that's fine. But the fact that it's all or nothing, you must eat everything if you want to support something, has left them basically saying, no, I don't. And I'm not going to be politically punished for doing this, because at the end of the day, it's not like Democrats have huge margins in West Virginia and Arizona that they can play with and put up somebody that's super progressive. That's just not going to happen.
So let me ask you your personal opinion. If you've had a chance to even observe this, what's your opinion? I'll set Sinema aside. She's less known, but Joe Manchin, if he's dug in, I mean, yesterday he had protesters, you know, surrounding his Maserati and banging on the hood and giving him grief. What is he? If he's dug in, is he the kind that can withstand the pressure? What do you think?
Oh, I think both of them have basically said, "You can protest me all I want or all you want, but I work for the voters of my state, and I'm hearing from them. I'm hearing from Republicans and Democrats in those states that are saying, hey, we're okay with some of this. We're not okay with all of this." And the protesty stuff, I mean, frankly, for most senators, that doesn't work. What works, right, and this is useful for your audience, what's going to influence somebody like Tommy Tuberville or the next senator from Alabama is when you call them, when you write letters to them, when you go
Absolutely.
See them. And that matters the most.
Absolutely. Well, and I agree. I mean, just on the state level, I saw that. I tell people all the time, what never influenced me were the protesters in the hallways. What never influenced me were the you know, the carbon copy emails where all they did was change the name and I got 175 of the exact same email. None of that did. But when I got a call from a constituent who had taken the time to give me their opinion and it was well-versed, that meant a lot. And so I totally agree with you. I think that's the way to go. Well, listen, Cameron, we appreciate your time, man. Thanks for chiming in on this. And as this develops, I may call on you again next week and see if you want to jump on and give us updates, all right?
All right, man. Let me know.
All right, we'll do it. That's Cameron Smith with Triptych Foundation, formerly with the Alabama Policy Institute, working in public policy for a lot of time and spending time in D.C. as well, giving us his perspective. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, It is, and he's right. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is shrewd enough to where she's not going to bring it to the floor and watch it fail. But at some point, the bill either lives or dies. And that's where we are. And even today, I'm looking at an article right now from Town Hall. Town Hall was saying that they're going for it. Democrats say they're voting today on spending bills. And this is not the first time they've said that. So we have House Democrat leadership. They literally teed up that vote today. They were teeing it up for a Friday vote on these sweeping social spending bills. And they couldn't get it done again today. And that's indicative of serious intra-caucus problems, all right? When we come back from the break here in a minute, I've got an actual clip of Joe Manchin speaking to these issues that I thought was so spot on. I listened to it and I thought, am I hearing a Republican? I mean, literally, talking about looking at what's in the bill and recognizing what's responsible. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate the fact, but Cameron Smith was right a moment ago. We have two Democrats right now, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, that are saving conservative Republicans bacon right now because they're the ones doing the fight. All the Republicans have to do up there right now is sit back and watch. It's like, just get your popcorn and watch the fight because it's going to be a good one. Teeth and hair are flying right now in the Democrat Party up in D.C. I'm just talking about right now, there's blood and bones, and it's got to be ugly behind the scenes. I mean, Nancy Pelosi may be getting kind of, you know, bony and older looking, but nonetheless, she's still a scrapper, and I guarantee you she's wearing some people out, but so far the progressives are giving it right back to her. It's going all the way to the 12th round, y'all. All right, listen, more on that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.